2 for our message. And under God, I would say that there are three men who have influenced me in my preparation for this message this morning. The first is an American friend from Arkansas, Paul Cheshire, and we worked together in Papua New Guinea. Without being rude, I would say that he was a man who burped Proverbs. Virtually any interaction you had with him, if there was an issue that needed to be discussed, he would have a proverb. And I'm not talking there about general proverbs. I'm talking about the proverbs of Scripture. So Paul challenged me on that with his knowledge of the book of Proverbs. Another man, another friend who has influenced this message this morning is our brother Stuart Olliott. And many of you will have heard his little video clip where he recited this little bit of verse and then explained it. At a chosen time each day, read your Bible while you may. Do not start until you pray. Ask, what does this passage say? Look for him who is the way. Find a lesson for today. Pray once more and go your way. And in that little verse, Stuart is showing the importance of regularly reading the Scriptures and meditating upon them in order that we might hear the voice of God. The third friend who has influenced my thinking in preparing this message, and not particularly this message, but the message this evening, is our brother Sinclair Ferguson. And I read a paper that he had written, and in that he is emphasizing the centrality of the Gospels and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he's drawing to a close, he says this: what counsel will help us grow, especially if we are young preachers, in balance and fullness? And his answer is the Gospels. We need to read and reread all four, meditate on them, be saturated in them, and come to know Jesus Christ today by knowing him as he was revealed yesterday. At the end of the day, it is the man who knows Christ best whose preaching will most satisfy those whose request is, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Both Stuart and Sinclair have one point in mind: saturate ourselves with the Word of God. And that's what I want to do this morning. And to look at this passage and to see the centrality and the absolute necessity of us reading the Bible, hearing the Bible preached, learning the Bible, and living the Bible. The passage that we had read for us this morning is split into two parts, two equal parts. You reading it, you wouldn't see a split, but you've got verses 1 to 11, which begins every verse in those 11 verses, begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Verses 12 to 22 begin with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it is grammatically an acrostic. It is a disciplined piece of writing. But as far as its message is concerned, in effect, you have two messages, one at the beginning, one at the end. The first message would be the benefit of the Word of God. The second part of that is warning. And while we can benefit from the Word of God, we need to be warned by the Word of God. The second lesson is that we need to embrace the Word of God and we need to avoid the way of sin. I haven't got one particular verse as a text this morning, but I want us to look in particular at verses 1 to 11. In verse 1, Solomon, who is writing, says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments." And the point that Solomon is making is that we need to hear the word of God and to receive it. But you'll notice that these first 11 verses split into three nice, not totally equal size parts, but very similar size parts. Verse 1 begins with "if," and that covers down to verse 4. Verses 5 through 8 start with the word "then." So, "if you receive my words," verse 5, "then you will understand the fear of the Lord." Then the next "then," which marks the beginning of the third section, is in verse 9, "then you will understand righteousness and justice." Apparently in Hebrew, the whole chapter is one long sentence. What I want to do this morning is to ask a question, or ask a couple of questions, which are both related. Why do you come to church? Whether it's here in the building where I am, or whether it's as we are now in a virtual gathering, we have blocked off this time in order that we might be together. Why do we come? The second question is, why do we read the Bible? And I trust that at the end of this message this morning, you will know the answer to those two questions. Because when we come to church, we come to hear the word read, we come to hear it preached and explained and applied in our lives. And we want it to change the way we live. I trust this morning this message will help us to know how to read the Bible, and then we will appreciate the benefits that will come from reading and hearing the Word of God. So my first heading this morning, based on verse 1 and verses 1 to 4, is receive the Word. Receive the Word. Verse 1, "If you receive my words." Christ's final commandments to his disciples were to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that I have commanded you. And so the apostles were to go out with a message that had to be declared and that had to be received. Mark records that same challenge and commission in chapter 16 and verse 15. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Declare the truth. Tell out the word of God." And the apostle Paul, when he knew that the end of life was near, he wrote to Timothy, and in effect he was writing to every preacher of God's word, and he says these words, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. "I charge you in the presence of God," again, the point of Neil's talk to the children, "in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all, with complete patience and teaching." Teach the word. Apply the word. And may that word bear fruit. Here in this collection of Proverbs, we have the collected words of Solomon. If you go back to chapter 1 and verse 1, it states there quite clearly, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." But this is not a professor with a lecture theatre full of 500, 600 students. No, this is a father to a son. And he is saying, my son, he is wanting to teach his children the right way to live. This expression, my son, is used 23 times in the book of Proverbs. Solomon is not simply wanting information to be put out there. Rather, he is wanting his children, his physical children, but also those who are subject to him. He wants them to receive the word. Now, the word if is a qualification. Well, it might happen, it might not happen. Friends, the facts are that the word of God will go forth. So God will send his word forth. It will be preached until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. No matter what viruses cause the world to be locked down, no matter what political regimes rise up and try to confiscate Bibles and hide them and burn them, God's word will go forth. But Solomon is saying, in effect, will you receive God's word? Will you take it? What will you do with it? Now, in verses 1 to 4 this morning, we have got seven verbs, seven doing words to show how we are to receive the word. Now, as I said, if is a qualification, it raises a measure of doubt, and there's a way in which Solomon is saying, well, you might choose to ignore the word of God, but I want to show you different ways that you can receive the word of God, different attitudes, different approaches. And in the same four verses, he uses five or six different descriptions of the word of God. Now let's look at these verbs, these doing words, because hearing is an action. You might not think about that. You might sit in your seat and think, well, I'm not doing anything, but you are. When you are receiving the word of God, you are doing something. Hearing is an action. So Solomon is saying, look, you've got to receive the word. But in the same verse, he tells us how we are to receive the word. It's not just to be, oh, here he goes again. Or I've heard this all before. No, we are to treasure the word of God. Treasure up my commandments with you. We're not to be like a squirrel. Here where we live in Pill, we often see squirrels, and they will run into the garden, they will get under a bush, they will get under a flower, and you'll see them bury a nut or a chestnut of some description, and then a few weeks later, a few months later, they will come back, and perhaps we've done the gardening, and that chestnut has disappeared. But it all seems very random with them. That isn't what God is saying. God isn't saying simply hoard the nuts. He is saying treasure them, hide them, put them somewhere secure, and make sure that the word of God is secure in your life. Let me ask you a very practical question. Is your Bible tatty, or is it dusty? Now, some of us get to a point and we think, oh, my Bible is so tatty, I better get myself a new one. But with others of us, we might say, well, look, this is the Bible that I've had for 40 years, and look at it. It's as good as new. We don't want a Bible like that. We want a Bible that is used, a Bible that we read and that we study. Just like we are to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, So Solomon calls us to receive the word of God with every part of our being. Look in verse 2, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. He is calling us to use different parts of our physical body, and hearing God's word is something that we do with our whole being, body and soul. And notice that verse 3, these verbs are not passive, they're not easygoing. If you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, do you have that desire? Oh, I long to hear the word of God preached. Oh, I long to be able to get alone with God and to read his word and to meditate upon it. We prayed concerning the demonstrations both this weekend and last weekend. Now, thankfully, there have been peaceful demonstrations. Sadly, there has been rioting and there has been looting. But even though it's been peaceful, the demonstrators have called out. They have shouted. They have wanted their voice to be heard. And that is what the writer Solomon is saying here. Don't just be passive. May there be an urgency. You know, if we want something, just yesterday I was in the garden, I didn't see who the person was, but it was obvious that a neighbor had gone out through their gate, and then another member of the family had followed them, and there was a call, there was a shout, because they wanted information to be passed on. Why does Solomon call us to call out and to raise your voice? He is saying it is important, and we need to hear it. He does a similar thing in verse 4. If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. You have got here what the Lord Jesus Christ talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, this whole seeking. The Lord Jesus Christ, talking about prayer, says that you are to ask, you are to seek, you are to knock. And what are we to seek for? Well, we are to seek for the word of God. It's like silver. And the psalmist in fact, it's Solomon's father in Psalm 12. And verse 6 says this, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. And I wonder if Solomon had that psalm of his father's in his mind when he wrote this, that we are to seek the word of God like we would seek silver, because it is so valuable. Why is it valuable? What gives it its value? Well, the value of God's word is because it is God's word. In 2 Timothy and chapter 3, Paul speaks of the value. He says where the word of God has come from. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. It has been spoken by God. And that is what gives it its value. That is what gives it its authority. You think of some of the great speeches of the 20th century. I only have to quote a few words from each of them, and many of you will know of whom I am speaking or referring. If I use the statement, I have a dream, I'm sure there are people now already at home saying, I know who that is. Yes, Martin Luther King. What about we will fight them on the beaches? And we have that echo through history of Winston Churchill. Great speeches, but friends, here we have something that is of far greater value. We have the Word of God. That Word which is so valuable that the Lord Jesus Christ told parables about men selling everything in order to buy the pearl of greatest price. So that is how we are to receive the Word. It is to be urgent. But notice the different ways the Word is described, the Bible, the Word of God. First of all, it is commandments. And we don't like the word commandment these days, or a lot of people don't like the word commandments. But that is what we have in the Bible. God says, do it this way. This week, when I was going out to work, Linda was setting herself up at home, and she had turned on a message by Alistair Begg, a Scotsman living in America. And he was quoting and going to preach from Micah 6. And that verse says, he has told you, this is Micah 6 verse 8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Friends, there are commandments. God expects us to live in a certain way. But notice, the Word of God is not simply commandments. It is wisdom. Verse 2, making your ear attentive to wisdom. And that is knowledge that helps you to live aright. Later in this collection of Proverbs, we are told in chapter 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But when we read the book of Proverbs, we need to see this word wisdom as a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24, Paul writes this. Well, I'll start in verse 22. For the Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. When Solomon writes about the wisdom of God, he prophetically is writing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Give your ear, or making your ear attentive to wisdom, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice, verse 2 also speaks about inclining your heart to understanding. We don't always understand things. And the Lord Jesus Christ said this to his disciples on a number of occasions. You don't understand this yet, but you will understand it later. And we will gain understanding as we turn to the Word of God. But notice in verse 3, it talks about calling for insight. Again, a very similar word to understanding. And we are to see that God's word is a command, it is wisdom, and it is understanding, that we might live to the glory of God. And then we come to this second section of the chapter, verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. If your life displays and practices the disciplines of verses 1 to 4 of reading the word, hearing the word, meditating upon the word, then Solomon is saying that it is inevitable that you will understand who God is, you will understand what he requires of you. And in verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice. You will understand the right way to live. Let's look at these verses then. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, you might like that verse written the other way around. You will understand the knowledge of God, and you will find the fear of the Lord. But no, the reading of the word, the hearing of the word, the applying of the word, it will lead us inevitably. We can't often explain it, but there is a response to the word. There are times when in my devotions, I am reading the word and I think, what's happened? And it isn't that I've necessarily understood something in a fresh way, but the word of God has taken hold of me and I know the presence of God and it's already affecting me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we need to realize that God is the Lord. He is almighty. He is not almighty. Think of how God has revealed himself in Scripture. I don't want you to turn in now, but I just want to give you a few aspects of the character of God that come out in the first three chapters of the Bible. In chapter 1, we have God as the Creator. God in Trinity spoke, and this world came into being. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, we have God as the Lord. You can enjoy the whole of the garden, but that one tree, I'm telling you, the creator of the garden, the creator of the world, you must not eat of that tree. And God gives his authority. Then we come into chapter 3, and in the opening verses, we have God as judge. Judge of Adam, judge of Eve, each individual having to give an account before the judgment seat of God, judge of the serpent, Satan, because the whole of creation is subject to God. Then in verse 21, we have the Savior. Genesis 3:21, the Lord gives a covering for sin and he provides Adam and Eve, not with leaves of their own making, but the skins of an animal. And he covers our unrighteousness. He is our Savior, but he is sovereign. He drives them from the garden and he says to them, you will not return here. Friends, do not think that you can dictate to God. God is sovereign. He continues to reign. God is not simply someone to answer my prayers. God is the Lord. He is sovereign. But notice in verse 6, it talks about the Lord giving wisdom. Yes, I said to you earlier about wisdom being a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is also the framework that God gives to us in order to live safely and honorably in this world. A close relationship with God will increase our understanding and will help us to live in a way that honors God. Notice that it talks about knowledge and understanding. And then verse 7, he stores up wisdom for the upright. We have just sung, for out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. And we will never exhaust God's resources. We will never get to the point, even if you knew Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation 22, word for word, you would never understand and have exhausted the richness of that word, because every time you ponder it, God would show you something different. God stores up the word. Why? In order that it might be a shield. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. God is our shield. Well, obviously, your thoughts will go to Ephesians 6 and the shield of faith. But I don't believe that it's simply that. I believe it's the strong tower of Proverbs 18. The word of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. And you've got this word integrity, completeness, a life that is honourable. I am concerned for the number of broken lives in Newport, around us, and even folk that we know. But there can be completeness in life when we turn to the Word of God, when we hear it, and when we walk in it. What are we to do with the Word of God? Well, Peter says that we are to grow in grace and in a knowledge of the truth. Why? Because we have this wonderful promise in verse 8, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of the saints. Psalm 32 says, I will guide you with my eye upon you. Romans 8 concludes with that glorious statement that nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 1, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Receive the word and you will know God. And sadly, the third section I'm going to have to deal with very quickly. You will grow. Verse 1, if you receive my words, verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. These verses are summarized in Romans chapter 12, really, that as Christians, we have to learn to live and to think differently. Romans 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that is what Solomon is saying here. When your mind is transformed by the Word of God through the work of the Holy Spirit, you will see that God's commandments are not restrictive, but they are in fact wholesome. God wants to be first in our lives because he wants to bless us. God wants us to respect other people and not to commit murder, because he wants us all to develop holy. God wants us to protect marriages in order that life might be whole, it might be pure, it might be unadulterated. And he is here saying that when the Word of God has taken hold of us, then we will see things differently. Verse 10, wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. When we love the Lord, when we love his word, it's not burdensome, but it is gracious. Notice verse 11. Discretion will watch over you and understanding will guard you. Life will no longer be a bunch of random thoughts, but it will be that which is ordered by God. And we will learn to live in a discreet way. And we thank God that verse 11 ends with this statement, understanding will guard you. The priests in the Old Testament were called upon to bless God's people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Remember that quotation from Stuart at the beginning? Each day, make time to read the word and to ask questions. So as I summarize this message this morning, I want to say to you, read the word, hear the word, live the word, and may God in Christ fill the whole of your life, and may you know peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.